before I ask Esther to read it, and I want you to put it in your mind. These are the questions I'm going to ask. What should be the response of the Joseph brothers instead of the way that they respond? What is the right response? And what do you think the response of Reuben in verse 21? And what about the response of Judah? Okay. And in verse 29, when Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there, he torn his clothes. He went back to his brother and said, "The boy isn't there. Where can I turn now?" Now, and then what should be the response of the other brother to Reuben? And do you think Judah, in verse 26, make the right response? So what is the right response? What do you think, okay, what do you think the response of Reuben, verse 21, and verse 26, what do you think about the response of Judah? And what do you think about the response of the other brothers to Reuben in verse 29? And then what should be the response of Joseph's father when he hears his son having a dream like that? And then I want to know what is the right response. And if you are put into this kind of situation, what should your response be? Okay? Because in the future, I know that nowadays you don't have 11, 12 brothers or sisters. No way. But when you go out to work, you're not going to work alone. You're going to work with your team. Okay? When your team leaders share something to you, what should be your response? If you follow the brother in this Genesis chapter 37, you'll be a loser when you go to work. Okay? Now, Etta, could you read that slowly? Let's pray first, okay? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to learn from Genesis chapter 37. And how should we live together among brother and sister? And when we go to work, and when we do a team project at school, how should we respond to each other? And I pray that you give us wisdom so that we be successful in all we are doing, because I pray that you guide us and give us the right path. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 37.
Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, the son of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told it to his brothers. "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flock near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them." "Very well," he replied. So he said to him, "Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me." Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the field and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He replied, "I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?" "They have moved on from here," the man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns, and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Do not shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the desert, but don't lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the richly ornamented robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, "The boy isn't there. Where can I turn now?" Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. They took the ornamented robe back to their father and said, "We found this. Examine it to see whether it is your son's robe." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph has surely been torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "in mourning I will go down to the grave to my son." So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph in Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard.
Okay. Now go to chapter 37 and verse 2. Do you think Joseph did the right thing to bring to their father a bad report about his own brother? Did he do the right thing in the first place? Let's say if you work in a team and he happened to be a team leader and the manager liked him very much and he always bring bad report about you to the manager. And assuming you are the team leader, should you do that? What happens if you do it? You know, when you work in the society, in the team ministry, you always work with your colleague. He must have done something that you don't like. Do you report it to your supervisor? Or you help him out? By reporting it to his father, he won't help the brothers. You understand what I mean? He did it not out of love, right? So what will you do, Hannah? If you were Joseph, should you bring the bad report of your brother and sister to your father? Not right away? You mean after he say a few things, he didn't listen, and then you tell your father?
Like, you would talk to them first.
How did you talk to them? But wow, now okay, let's stop here. You say you do not like what you're doing, but he say I like it. You know what I mean? You can't say I don't like what you're doing. You say you have to bring someone that higher than you if you really want to help him. I think the Lord did not like what you're doing. Alright? Instead of say, I do not like what you're doing. Does it make sense? Or, I think the owner of this company may not like what you're doing. You get yourself into trouble. Right? Instead of say, you do not like what you're doing. Do we learn it? And at the same time, when you do it, you're not accusing him. You are trying to help him. If he know that you're accusing him, he will be very defensive. But if you want to help him, to be a better person, then he is open up, willing to be changed, right? So it depends how you treat. It's not so much what you know at school. Assuming you are a genius, you are very smart, but you always work with people. But when you work with people, you don't know how to deal with your coworker, you end up being a loser. You know what I mean? Especially when you find out the manager like you very much. Your father like you. Right? Don't lean on that. Because in certain situation, when your father is not around, in the wilderness, you're in dangerous situation. You're at the hand of your brothers and sister. Then he will destroy you. You understand what I'm trying to say? Okay? So, Sally, what have you learned based upon what we just said? Do you agree? What do you agree?
That when someone does something wrong, you could say that someone who is like higher in power than you, that they don't like it, not you don't like it.
Yeah. And, if you want to be successful, to be promoted in the future, you don't just point out what's wrong that they have done. You also give them a solution, a better way of doing it. Then they know you are helping them. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you don't have that solution, you keep your mouth shut. Pray that God give you a solution before you approach him or her. Does that make sense? Sometimes a lot of people, they did certain thing. They thought this is the best way. And you say it's no good. Unless you tell him a better way of doing it and show him the best way. Hopefully he will agree. Does it make sense? Now in here, Joseph doesn't know how to handle the situation correctly. Bring bad report about his brother to his own father. Okay? And then so that's why in verse 3, now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other son. Of course, he gives the reason saying that he has been born to him in his old age. And then he makes a richly ornamented robe for him. You know, sometimes you get promotion, you get favor, you get a special office. Facing the wheel is so good, you know, a lot of other employer, you know, other co-workers see that you gain favoritism from your boss. They may not like you. You have to watch out. Don't ever think that your boss like you. That means you're all right. You are in a more dangerous situation because everybody look at you. Right? You understand that? So Donald, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Okay. Now, take a look at the response to Joseph's dream. Okay? Is that the right response by his brothers? In verse 5 to verse 7, Joseph had a dream, and when he told this to his brother, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright, while your sheaf gathered around mine and bowed down to it." Verse 8, his brother said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he has said. So, what should the response of his brother when Joseph has this dream? Joyce? What is the right response? Now, in here is a dream, okay? Assuming, they all heard about the dream of his father. Do you know that if I remember right, in Genesis chapter 28, Jacob himself has a dream. Do you remember that? And that dream turned out to be true, turned out to be really God speaking to Jacob through a dream. So, we just jumped there. We didn't study Genesis chapter 28. But I believe when his father has a dream, his father must have told all of his children that he has a dream, and that dream turned out to be a reality. Turn out that God speaking to him through a dream. So when Joseph said he has a dream, that means in light of Genesis chapter 28, when Joseph said to his brother that he has a dream, that means God spoke to Joseph. He just shared what God has said to him. Does it make sense? Go back to that dream, his father's dream, chapter 28, because we did not study 28 before we studied 37, right? Last week, right? Now, we go back to 28. Etta, could you read that? Genesis chapter 28, verse 10, all the way to the end. 22. Chapter 28, verse 10 to 22. Listen carefully, okay?
Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay it down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway.
Okay, stop here first. I want you to write down right beside Genesis chapter 37, verse 5. Joseph had a dream. You write down 28, verse 12. His father, Jacob, has a dream too. And that dream turned out to be true. Turned out that God spoke to his father, Jacob. So, it is different than, I have a dream, and then I share something to you. Then you believe it as if it's the word of God. No. In those days, when Jacob had a dream, and that dream turned out to be the truth, that God spoke to him, right? Then in the same way, when Joseph said that he has a dream, in light of Genesis chapter 28, then you should believe There is a possibility that God spoke to Joseph instead of his elder brother. Does it make sense? Now, when someone shared to you, just like when you attend a church, and the pastor say to you, this is the word of God, and something that you don't like to hear, do you hate him all the more because he shared to you the word of God? I want you to write down, right beside the dream, other than you write down Genesis chapter 28, verse 12, isn't it? Right beside what? Genesis chapter 37, verse, is it 5? What's that? He has a dream. Yeah, verse 5, right? Right beside Genesis 37, 5, you write 28, 12. I also want you to write down Galatians 4, 16. I want you to write down John 8, 40. When Jesus tell the truth from what he hear from the Heavenly Father to the Pharisee, and what's the response of the Pharisee? Same thing. The Pharisee hated him and wanted to kill Jesus. In the same way, when Paul tell the truth, Paul saying that, am I going to be your enemy? Are you going to hate me all the more? So brother and sister, I want you to learn this lesson. When you go to a church, when you hear the leader sharing the word of God to you, something that you don't like to hear, are you going to hate him all the more, or are you going to submit to the word of the Lord? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So, Jean, could you read John chapter 8, verse 40? And then David, you read Galatians 4:16. So in other words, are you follow the footstep of the Pharisee or follow the footstep of Abraham? When Abraham hear the word of God, Abraham submit to the word of God. But Pharisee hear the word of God from Jesus and they try to kill Jesus. Do you understand? Jesus telling you the truth. In the same way now, Joseph said that he has a dream. Because I want to study the life of Joseph, so I don't go back to, I just jump a few steps. You know, I didn't study Genesis chapter 1, right? I didn't study chapter 12. Chapter 12, we got Abraham. I didn't study Jacob, 28. But as far as the dream is concerned, so you don't just say, oh, I have a dream, and then you take that dream to become the word of God. No, that's not what I'm trying to say. Okay? When you read Genesis chapter 37, you're supposed to first read Genesis chapter 28, right? And when his son, Joseph, saying that, I have a dream, and then he have a dream again. You understand what I'm trying to say? Then, Genesis chapter 28, his father has the same dream. All his son know that. That's the word of God. So when Joseph said, I have a dream, that means I heard what God said to me regarding my future. Do you hear me? Sometimes, you know, when you go to a board meeting, when you go to work, there's a meeting, you know, the manager say, that's the vision of this company, we're going to do this, and some employees don't like it because causing you some hardship. You have to come earlier, you have to go home late, you know, stuff like that. What should your response be? If you want to stay in that company, you should support his dream. Support his vision. You understand? You don't just say, I hate you all the more. Does it make sense, Joshua? Okay. Jean? Gospel of John, 8:40. One more time.
As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things.
So, Joseph heard from God and telling his brother the truth. And they tried to kill him. They're not following the footsteps of Abraham. Abraham gave birth to Isaac. Isaac gave birth to Jacob. Jacob gave birth to the 12 tribes, right? They're not following the very footsteps of Abraham. Does it make sense? Now go to Galatians. David, chapter 4, verse 16. Say that one more time.
Have I not become your enemy by telling you the truth?
You have to realize, when you tell the truth, when you hear what God said to you, and then you tell the other people, I want you to remember one thing. You have to prepare. When you hear the word of God, from God directly, and you tell the other brother and sister, you have to prepare, then they're going to hate you. Paul saying that, am I going to be your enemy when I tell you the truth? You got that? That is human instinct. You know why? You know why? Because we are descendants of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve sins against God. Does that make sense? And we are his descendants. That's why we don't like it. When you hear the word of God, you say, oh, I like it. That means your life has already been changed by God. Okay? Now, read that. 28. One more time. So, all the way. Starting 12. Verse 12. Here's a dream.
Had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you.
Okay, I just want to stop here. Genesis chapter 28, verse 10 all the way to verse 15, that's what God promised to Jacob in a dream. Could you tell me how much has already been fulfilled? And verse 15, I am with you, and will watch over you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land. Verse 15, has it been fulfilled? I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. This verse has already been fulfilled. Let's go to 14. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. He hasn't been fulfilled yet. He has what? Jacob has 12 sons, right? One daughter. 12 sons is not the dust of the earth. He has a lot of sons already, right? And you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. By believing in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, we become the descendant of Jacob. And that has already been fulfilled right now. Not in Genesis chapter 37. Now, in 2011, it's fulfilled already. There's a lot of questions now, right? By faith, by believing in Jesus Christ, and become the descendant of Jacob. And all people on earth will be blessed. Has it been fulfilled? Yes. This Bible promises has been fulfilled. All people, including Chinese from Hong Kong, Chinese from Taiwan, Chinese from China and all other nations on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring, the singular offspring, that is Jesus Christ. So this promise has been fulfilled. Okay, verse 16.
When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." Early the next morning, Jacob took the stone he had placed under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear, so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth."
So, in the light of Genesis chapter 28, so we understood Genesis chapter 37 verse 5, Genesis chapter 37 verse 9, when Joseph said he has a dream in verse 5, and then in verse 9, then he has another dream. That means God spoke to him twice, right? Joshua, the last time, last week, when I say that, when God spoke to you in a dream twice, so what does it mean? So how do you know? What's the proof? Okay, that's good. Now, keep going. Now, in light of this, now we understand when someone say, when Joseph say that he has a dream, that means he has the word of God spoken to him. Now, what should be the right response? Daniel, when someone said that, "I have heard the word of God spoke to me saying that I'm going to reign with Jesus Christ in the future," should you help him out to be the leader, or should you destroy him? What good does it do if you help him? Okay, wow, you're a smart guy, eh? So, Gabriel, what should your response be? When you hear your pastor sharing the word of God, saying that he will reign with Jesus in the future, and you don't have that dream, are you going to kill the pastor's dream? Or are you going to help him out so that his dream will be fulfilled? You should support him. How? Okay, what's the dream of Pastor Lamb has?
What is your
dream? Why are you telling me a hot shit there? Yeah? Okay. Then how are you going to help him out? Or are you going to kill his dream? Or are you going to hate him all the more because, you know, I want to date my girlfriend now. Sunday I have to go to another church. Are you telling me that I have no vacation and all that? You know what I mean? Tell me. You don't just laugh. You just tell me. You just tell me, you know. I mean, what is your response, you know?
I just pass on
streaming? Pass on to someone else. Okay. Now, I would like you to read Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. You pass it on to someone else. Okay? Then could you read it out loud? Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. So what's that?
He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather is scattered.
Are you trying to agree against me?
No.
Well, that's what Jesus said. Say it one more time.
He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters.
So you try to scare the people, right? Jesus Christ tried to gather people under his shepherd. And that's what we're trying to do. We want to reach out to the non-believer and bring him to the kingdom of God. And I have that dream. I have that vision. I have that word of God from Jesus Christ. And I pass it on to you. You say you...
I help.
No, wow. But before you didn't say you help, okay? You say you pass it on someone else, right? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah.
When you pass it on someone else, because you... I memorized Matthew chapter 12, verse 30. I know what it is. If I'm not with Jesus, I'm against Jesus. Although I'm not saying, Jesus, I'm against you. I don't think we have the courage to say to Jesus, I'm against you. But our actions speak louder than word. Our action to Jesus saying that, I don't buy that. I don't go for it. So I pass it to someone else. Let someone else to follow. But in reality, according to his word, we are against him. Now, if you're against Jesus, you think you will get a blessing from Jesus? You won't. Take a look at the promise that Jesus gave it to you. Proverbs 18:22, Proverbs 19:14. You haven't married yet. You are single, okay? I think you need that kind of blessing. Proverbs 18:22, 19:14. He is not with me, is against me. He who does not gather is scattered. Right? Now you tell me. You read that. Proverbs 18:22.
He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord.
You want to be bachelor for the rest of your life? Or you want to get married? You want?
Yeah. Really?
But yeah, really, that's what I'm trying to say. Read it one more time, 18:22. What did he say?
He who finds a wife finds what is good and receives favor from the Lord.
And you want to receive favor from the Lord.
Yeah.
And the Lord Jesus Christ said, he is not with me, he's against me. Mm-hmm. So, okay, 19:14. Do you want to get a prudent wife?
Yeah.
Or you want to get a lousy one? Then if you want to get a prudent wife, that means you want to gain favor from the Lord. But if you are against him, how can you gain favor from him? You tell me.
You can.
So are you going to fulfill the Pastor Lam dream or what?
Yeah, I'll try my best.
You try your best. What about Gene? Are you going to help Pastor John to fulfill his dream?
Try your best.
Very good. Okay. Now, go back. Keep reading it. So, take a look at the response of his father. Read it one more time in verse 10 all the way to 11. Is that the right response from Jacob? 37:10. Etta?
When he told his father as well as his brothers, his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you have? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind.
So, verse 10, is that the right response?
And then verse 11, but his father kept this matter in mind. Is that the right response? Josh?
Verse 10. What's wrong with Jacob in his response?
Questions the dream.
But he knows better. He has a dream too. He only has one dream. He didn't have a choice. But Joseph has a choice. So he's not with the Lord when he revealed his son. And secondly, don't you think it's better if your father, my daughter is more successful than I am? I should be glad. I shouldn't say, what do you mean I bow down to you? Isn't it good to have a son and daughter that to become prince and princess, right? Isn't it good? We shouldn't be jealous of someone that we love, that become better than we are. Am I right? If we have the love, trust your own son. Does it make sense? If your son better than, if you are better than William, William should be happy too, right? Isn't it Joyce? Or do I want you to be worse than me? No, not equal. Has to be better. Right? Isn't it? So, hey, when I share the word of God to you in detail, do I just want you to be equal to me or want you to be better than me? Gabriel? Yeah. Oh, it sounds like, I don't know whether you agree in your heart, but in your mouth. So you want to pray that you be a pastor too?
You don't,
come on. What did Jesus say? If it's yes, you say yes. If it's no, you say no. Anything other than that is from the devil. You know the answer. You just tell me from your heart. Yes, eh? Oh, man. In verse 10, his father, he just says something out of his head. He didn't say something out of his heart. But later on, in verse 11, but his father kept the matter in mind. I want you to write beside here. You write Luke chapter 2, verse 19. That is exactly how the mother of Jesus responds to what she has heard. Luke 2:19. Heather, can you read that?
But Mary turns up all these things and ponders them in her heart.
When something that Mary did not understand, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Brother and sister, I want to tell you something. So that's why I don't wait for Gabriel's answer. I let him ponder in his heart tonight. Okay? Think about. Is it better to be... What are you studying? You study business? You want to be go to finance? Do you have any company in mind that you want to work for? RBC? You don't want to work for a bank? So what's the name of the company you want to work for? Okay. But you don't want to serve the King of Kings? Lord of Lords? But what?
I also want to get a job as well.
Oh, you're telling me the job that I do is not a job? Oh, come on. Oh, now. Oh, man. What do you think the job that I'm holding? Eh?
I just
It's not a real job.
No.
It's a virtual job. You know what? I tell you one thing. When I studied Master of Engineering, I don't have to pay for it. The university gave me scholarship to study Master of Engineering. It's only 1 year I finish it. And I get a thesis. It's supposed to be 2 years. I get it done in 1 year. But when I study a Master of Divinity, it's a 3 year and I have to pay for it every time. You're telling me that I can go for 3 more years of Master of Divinity. It's not a real job. Ah, come on. You look down upon minister.
No.
No. Oh, come on.
Oh. I said,
okay, I'm listening to you. What do you mean? tell me more, okay? Just tell me more.
I'm just saying, like, since I worked hard for that degree,
okay.
I'm saying I would not want to maybe throw that away.
So what about John then? Did John then throw that away?
Yes, he did.
He did? Hey? So you throw it away?
No, I wouldn't want to do that.
You don't want to throw it away? Oh, wow. So then...
Right
then,
away.
Then
not right away.
Not right away.
Yeah.
I don't quite really understand what do you really mean.
Like maybe in the future.
In the future, you're going to throw it away? Okay. Okay. So what about Joshua? Are you going to throw it away? Okay. Oh, man. Throw that away. Could you do me a favor, Gabriel? Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said to his disciple, verse 16:24, what did Jesus say?
If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow.
Deny himself, that means throw all that away. Isn't it? Whatever is treasure in your heart, throw that away. You know? Okay. Now. Okay, take a look at the response of Reuben. Okay? In verse 21. So, Carl, could you read 21 to 22? If you were Reuben, what should you do? Reuben is the elder son, right? The elder son supposed to be the leader. Okay? When everybody, they tried, verse 18, they plotted to kill him. Here come that dreamer, they said to each other. Come now, let us kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns. And said that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we will see what comes of his dream. He tried to destroy God's word. I want you to write beside, right beside that. You write down Proverbs 21:30. Jean, could you read that? Proverbs 21:30. And Joyce, I want you to read 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. There's no wisdom, there's no insight, there's no plan that can succeed against the Lord. And they try to use their own wisdom, insight, and plan to oppose the Lord. But the Bible clearly stated that 2 Corinthians 13, 8. and there's no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. 13:8, 2 Corinthians.
For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth.
Say that one more time.
For we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth.
We cannot do anything against Joseph's dream. Because what his dream is come from God. So, no one can do anything against his dream, but only for his dream. Right? So, Gabriel, do you understand 13:8? No one can oppose Pastor John's dream for that. Because that dream come from the word of truth. He told us, go and make disciples of all nations and baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And then teaching them to obey what I have commanded you. And lo, and I will be with you from now until eternity. That's God's word. And Joseph's brother tried to destroy God's word. But they're not successful. Am I right? So you write that down right beside Genesis chapter 37, verse 20. Then we will see what comes of his dream. They try to destroy his dream. They try to destroy God's word. You right beside that, you write down 2 Corinthians 13:8. Is it 13:8? And then Proverbs 21:30. Now, okay. Verse 21 to 22. Carl?
When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. Let's not take his life, he said. Don't shed any blood. Throw him into the cistern here in the desert. But don't lay a hand on him. Reuben sent us to rescue him from them and take him back to his father.
Do you think his response is right? Let us not take his life, that's right. Don't shed any blood, that is right. But throw him into this cistern here in the desert. But don't lay a hand on him. And Reuben said this to rescue him from their hand, and rescue him from them, and take him back to his father. In verse 22, is that the right thing to do? Did Reuben did what he's supposed to do? Did he stand up for the truth? As an elder brother, to looking after his younger brother, the 11 brothers, okay? Is that the right thing to do, Joshua? Although deep in your mind that you want to rescue Gabriel, but you say throw him into the cistern, and then later on you're going to rescue him. But based on what you say, the other brother didn't know that you tried to rescue him. He thought, wow, my elder brother said to throw him in the cistern. Is that the right thing to say? Why are you saying what you're saying?
Because I think John just don't want to be there, but if he had outright said that no, he did not go to the sister, then his other 10 brothers would have been there as well.
You mean the other brother going to kill the elder son?
Yeah. That's what he's scared of.
So now you're telling me that he's... Oh, okay. What did the prophet say? If you fear of man, you fall into a snare. That's exactly what happened to him. He's scared of his other brother. They are very ferocious, just like animals.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
But fear of man can cause you to fall into a snare. If you fear of God, that's good. You know, like when we go to a society to work, all kind of people give you advice.
You know, if you fear them, and you fall into a trap, don't fear man. If you lose the job, lose the job. Stand up for your right. Stand up for the truth. The Lord will bless you. I don't think Reuben stand up for the truth. The first part is right, but he needs to go all the way. Do not kill him. Do not shed any blood. But don't you know if he shed his blood, he's innocent? The Lord see that up high? He can hold each and every one of us accountable to that. You remember what I say, Hannah? You don't say, I don't like what you're doing. So what do you say? God doesn't like what you're doing. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You bring God into the picture. Did God want us to kill one another within the Ten Commandments? The Sixth Commandment say, what did it say? Thou shalt not kill. Right? And they know the story. They heard it from Abraham. They heard it from Adam and Eve. What happened to his firstborn son, Cain? Killed his younger brother, Abel. Remember that? End up wandering away from God. Don't do that. We know that is wrong. But they don't share the word of God. So that's why God cannot use Reuben. You know what? If you do not have the word of God within your heart, in a situation like that, you're going to fear man. The best thing you can do is follow Reuben. Let's not kill him. We don't want to shed any blood. And then throw it in the cistern. And deep in his heart, he wants to rescue him. You understand what I'm trying to say? But as far as the other brother is concerned, that means you are with me. Right? This is not the good scenario. Does it make sense? Tell me what's the best scenario. How should I respond if I were Reuben?
Say that God didn't like what you're doing and not
speak
Joseph alone.
You just say, well, so what if he didn't like it? You mentioned he will hold you accountable to it. You have to pay for the blood that you shed. On top of that, he's our own kinsman. You don't kill him. I tell you one thing. Just like the Vancouver riot, okay? When all your friends did some crazy thing, if you want to be with your friend, very likely you're going to do the same thing. But you're going to ruin your future. You wash your hand, you walk out, you say, I got nothing to do with that. I'm not going to do it. Does it make sense? Because I know in the dark no one can see me, but God can see me. Right? Sally, do you learn anything today? What have you learned? If you keep on doing the wrong way, we have to face the consequences. Right? We have to mention that. You remember Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2? You were dead in your sins and transgression in which you used to live. When we follow the way of this world and follow the way of the ruler of this world, the devil is at work in those who are disobedient. You understand? Don't fall into the trap. Don't follow what the world are doing it. Don't follow all the other brothers and sisters doing it if they do it wrong. You wash your hand clean, you walk out of it. Do you understand? Don't get involved in any riot. You're going to mess up your own life. Can you imagine if I see in the camera, in the TV, I see Gabriel in there? Oh, man. If all your friends joining the riot, Gabriel, let's join hands and do it together. What do you say? He's going to beat you up there.
Hey? Then you join them. Let him beat you up. Make sure you when you make friends with people, you have to know who your friends are. Psalm 119:63. I am a friend to all who fear Him. I'm a partner to all who fear Him and who follow, who keep His precept. If your fellow doesn't keep the precept, doesn't keep the word of God, don't make friends with him. Otherwise, you're going to follow his very footstep. You understand? Do not walk with them. You walk with the wise, you become wise. You walk with the foolish man, you become a foolish man. Read that to me. Psalm 119, verse 63. Okay, now take a look at the response of Judah. But Carl, did you answer the question? Now I'm asking you a question. Okay, now in Judah. Did Judah respond correctly? In verse 26? Read that.
Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood?"
And 27.
"Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites, and not lay hands on him. After all, he is our brother. Our own flesh and blood, his brothers agree."
Is this a good response? What's wrong with that 27? What has he done that grieved his father? He spared his brother's life, right?
Yeah.
Not laying hand on him. But what did he do?
Sold him to slavery.
That is bad too. Right? That's really bad. And when they did that, do they have to lie to his father? He not only lied to his father, he lied to Reuben too. When Reuben came back, he didn't even know what's going on. You know what? I found out this family is dysfunction, you know, among brother and sister. They don't live together in harmony. Right? That's really bad. There's no love. Right? Make sure when we do this kind of thing, the Lord will not bless us. Don't ever do that. Don't get involved in this kind of stuff. We have to live in harmony. Psalm 133, could you read that? Gabriel, could you read it? The whole chapter? Psalm 133? Do they live together in harmony? In unity? Do they? Yeah. They don't. As the elder brother, they scare up the younger brother. And Judah thought that he did God a favor. So him. Right? That's bad. But remember one thing. This kind of stuff going to haunt at Judah. It's going to haunt at Reuben. It's going to haunt at all the other brothers. Later on when we study that. Because the bad thing they have done, they know that they sin against their own conscience. Not to mention God knowing that. They don't know that. They don't know that God knows that. Okay? But they sin against their own conscience. They know this is the bad things to do. But they keep on doing it. Because they fear man, they fear other brother and sister. And against God. And against his own brother. And more importantly, against his father too. When he come to his father, he lied to his father. And his father cried for his son. Because he thought Joseph was killed by a ferocious animal. Right? And that's really bad. They won't get blessing. Don't ever do a thing like that. So Donald, tell me what have you learned today in conclusion? Speak louder. So who has more power? God, okay. And what else have you learned? Okay. Anna, what have you learned?
To stand up for like the right thing to do and like basically giving replies like Reuben, don't just say part of it as what you want to do and hide what the rest of what you're saying because you're afraid of man. So just stand up for what you think is right and what you know God will think is right. Or God.
But when you stand up for the truth based upon Proverbs, based upon Gospel of John chapter 8 verse 40, and they may kill you, they may hate you, okay? Okay? But you have to prepare yourself for that. No pain, no gain. Stand up for God, and God going to reward you. Hey, he going to bless your career in the future. You know, just like Enron, you remember Enron? That big organization, they cook up the book. When you become accountant, finance, VP, he promote you to cook up the book, and then you go to prison. You know that is wrong. You say, I'm sorry, I can't do it. You quit. You don't go along. You go along, you get promotion. But eventually, he got haunted at you. You're going to go to jail. Does it make sense? When we study the Bible, we learn from it to protect you, not to get yourself in trouble. You may get away with it immediately, but later on, you'll be in deep trouble. Does it make sense? So we pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless our children and help them to understand what they learned today and hide it within our hearts so that we won't sin against you, and help us to rock uprightly and do the right thing for you, for your kingdom, so as to bring people to get to know you. Lord, I pray that as we are faithful in obeying your word, to keep your precept, to keep your word, I pray that you bless us, encourage us, and help us to make friends with those who fear you and those who follow your way. And help us to distance ourselves from those who fear man but does not fear you. I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen.